Well, hey, welcome again, and thanks to everybody who is joining us this weekend through our online service. Now, we love being one church in many places. Typically, we're about 10 or 11 services a weekend, depending on if we have lobby campus or not. But today, we're actually one church in a few thousand locations, and whether you're watching from home or on your smartphone or in a watch party online, we want to say welcome to all of you. Could you do me a favor and share this service? Get this message out to others right now. Just click the share button on social media, or maybe if you're live watching on the internet, you can grab the URL and just copy and paste it, text it out, share it to others as well. We want to make sure that as many people as possible can hear what God is speaking to the church and through his church as well. And we're just one expression of churches all around the country that are kind of meeting this way this weekend. Of course, as a nation, we are doing what we're calling social distancing. And I myself have been practicing that. And part of that is me just honoring the requests of medical professionals and leaders above me in the CDC because of an exposure that I had over a week ago. But let me just remind you, I'm doing great. I'm feeling fine. I don't have any symptoms, but I am keeping myself away from others. And so I'm filming this message today in my backyard. Hope you like the trees around me. And it is raining a little bit, so my hope is that you can hear me just fine. Now, it's an interesting time for our nation and our world, really. Many people are afraid, they're unsure, they're unsettled about what's happening related to the coronavirus. And last week, I challenged our church to remember God's word in times of uncertainty, to trust in the bigness of our God. If you remember, I made this statement. I said, never let the size of our problems cause us to forget the size of our God. Now, even when troubles come, Jesus said, troubles are going to come, but he said, behold, I've overcome the world. If you remember that, right? We can trust that Jesus would give us his peace. He promised to give us his peace. It's actually the same peace that he operates with is the peace that he provides for us. And he said, it's not like the world gives, but it's the same peace Jesus has about our world. It's the same peace that Jesus offers to us. Now, as I mentioned last week, that we are to be faith-filled and we're to be smart. That is, we're not to be people of fear in times like this, but we have a trust and a confidence in God and in God's word and in God's promises. And we love God and we love people well. My pastor friend, Galen Davis, he's at Cornerstone in Nashville. He shared with me a stat from the Bible. It's actually Jesus's number one admonition throughout all of the Gospels. And the one thing that he said the most in the Gospels, do not be afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but if I hear Jesus say something so often, in fact, it said it's recorded that he said it 125 throughout all four Gospels, 125 times that Jesus would say, do not be afraid. That's actually three times more than any other commandment that he gave. For me to hear Jesus give us that admonition that often, I think it's something that we can not only adhere to, but trust him in as well. Well, today I want to move in a little bit of a different direction related to really what God is trying to show us during this time. Last week I talked about how do we respond in times of chaos, but this week I want to talk about what is God trying to show you about yourself or about himself. Now, I'm a firm believer in the passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It tells us that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So that means as people of faith, we can trust that God is up to something good in times like this. Now, one of the things I really believe is that in the middle of everything that's happening around us, in the middle of all this pandemic and this crisis and the fear that's going on and the concerns and the hope and the excitement, everything that's going on are related to coronavirus, God is actually wanting to show us some good. God is wanting to reveal to us that he is at work. And I don't know necessarily how all of this is going to shake down. None of us do. And what's ultimately going to happen. But I do believe that God is going to work in the midst of this and that he's wanting to show us not only more about himself, but I think he wants to show more of his spirit at work in us. So let me just ask you a question. And this is actually going to be a really simple thought that runs through our sermon time together today. And then I want you to talk about it in your watch parties or in your group or in your home when we're done. Let me just ask you to consider, what is it that God is showing you through everything that's happening? Now think about that question for a second. What is God showing you in the midst of everything that's happening about himself? What's he revealing to you about himself? And what is God revealing to you about yourself? Maybe about your needs, maybe about what's on the inside of you during this time. Listen, let's be honest. We're all dealing so much with so many different emotions. We've got anxiety, fear, pressure, uncertainty. For many of us, we're feeling outside pressure, internal pressures rising up. We're anxious about what's happening with our family. Do we have enough supplies? What's going to happen in the economy? Maybe you're physically sick and you've been infected with coronavirus and you're dealing with a different set of pressures, like what's going to happen to me? Am I going to survive this? Pressure from what's happening, pressure from what we can't control, pressure from all the things changing around us, and really the pressure of our rhythms being messed up, right? I mean, how many of you have enjoyed this time at home, and how many of you are going a little stir crazy because you're not used to being home this much? I've talked to some of our team that are saying, man, working from home is both exciting and just so different, it's hard to get used to that rhythm. See, I believe that in times of pressure, in times of anxiety, in times of chaos, one of the gifts of pressure is that it will begin to reveal what's actually on the inside of us. Now think about that for a second. If pressure does anything, it puts the squeeze on us, right? Think of it like that. It puts the squeeze on us, and it can either reshape us or it can reveal what's actually on the inside of us. Now, I'm going to give you a really gross illustration. And part of that is because we're all kind of watching crazy things right now. We're all listening to crazy things right now. And we're all spending a lot more time at home. And many of us are binge watching our favorite shows or YouTube channels or certain pages on social media, right? And we're watching the shows we've been saving in our queues for a long time. Well, one of the most popular shows and set of clips that people like to binge watch and share, and I've got many friends that love to send me these clips, are either full episodes or a dozen clips in a row of everyone's favorite dermatologist, Dr. Pimple Popper. If you don't know who Dr. Pimple Popper is, I would encourage you to Google her. It is amazing. Now, my wife thinks it's disgusting. I have friends that they're on the fence. One spouse thinks it's hilarious. Another spouse thinks it's disgusting. Now, fortunately for you, since I'm not in our building, I'm not on our stage to throw up a few clips on the big screen, so I'll spare you the details there, but you can Google that on your own time. But Dr. Pimple Popper, she is known for squeezing, putting pressure on, right? Blemishes and blackheads and boils and cysts on people's bodies. Now, just even talking about it, some of you are just squeamish and gross, and so I promise I'm not gonna show any pictures of some of the examples of what she does. But by putting the squeeze on people, by putting pressure on people's physical bodies, what it does is it reveals what's really on the inside of their pores. Now, I get it. It's a totally gross illustration. But you know what? I've been cooped up by myself for the last few days, and I thought I needed some reason to laugh, so I wrote this into the sermon. But here's the thing. The more she squeezes out, the more interesting the clip becomes, right? And the bigger the prize, right? And so the more she squeezes, the more pressure she puts on, the more she ends up talking about it. And honestly, it's gross and satisfying all at the same time. I bet, again, you never thought that you'd hear your pastor use a pimple popping illustration, but just hear me out for just a second. In the season that we're living in, we're all feeling pressure. We're feeling the pressure and the squeeze of uncertainty and fear and a worldwide pandemic. I mean, that is language we've never used in any of our lifetimes. We've been dealing with the pressure of rational and irrational fears. Do I have enough stuff? What's going to happen? And so many more things. And it's in times like this that I believe the pressure and the squeeze of what's happening, this is where God can reveal to us what's really on the inside of us. Does the analogy make sense to you now? See, will that pressure reveal faith, or will that pressure reveal fear? Will that pressure reveal hope, or will that pressure reveal hopelessness? Will that pressure reveal selflessness, or will that pressure reveal selfishness? Will it reveal peace or anxiety? What I said earlier is that God will work in all things for good for you, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So what's God showing you in this season of pressure and anxiety about Himself and about yourself? What's really on the inside of you that God wants to show you? I tell you right now, God's showing me a lot more rain than I'm used to. Never preached in a thunderstorm before. So here's something I want you to think about. What is it that pressure reveals? So in Mark chapter 7, Jesus has this really amazing interaction with a group of religious people called the Pharisees. Now, these are the religious leaders of the day, and they were super well known for confronting Jesus about things that they thought mattered really badly, and he thought mattered not at all, right? So they were the religious leaders of the day, and in Mark chapter 7, they were criticizing Jesus because his disciples weren't exactly keeping up with all the right behaviors or all the right religious practice. In fact, ironically, and this is why I think it's a great illustration for us today, the Pharisees were aggressive towards Jesus because his disciples weren't washing their hands. Now, of all things, right, for us to be thinking about, this is one of the reasons that we're in the mess that we're in is just good hygiene. So I thought, man, looking at that story, they're getting onto Jesus because his disciples are not washing their hands. So they challenged Jesus. They confronted him with asking, like, why don't your disciples do what our elders taught us? Why aren't they washing their hands before they eat? Why aren't they doing the traditions of the elders? Which, by the way, it's an interesting revelation that they are pressuring Jesus about things that are man-made, like man-made distinctions about hand washings. Those aren't even biblical things. And so they're pushing onto Jesus their religion, right? Their rules. And in our Galatians series this year, we've been seeing that quite a bit. So Jesus went on to talk about how we identify what really matters. Is it really a big deal that somebody doesn't wash their hands before they eat? Does it contaminate them? Does it make a problem for them forever? And of course, in the day we're living in now, wash your hands, be smart, right? We talked about that last week. But he quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he starts really going beyond hand washing and start dealing with the pressure of what's on the inside of the Pharisees. And he quotes Isaiah, and he says in Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 6, he says, Isaiah spoke very well of you, and well did he prophesy of you hypocrites, as it's written in Isaiah, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This is what I'm trying to get at with all that's going on. We say one thing all the time, right? It's easy to have faith. It's easy to say, bless God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, when things are going fine. But under pressure, what does it actually reveal in our heart? He said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. They teach as doctrines the commandments of people. In other words, they elevate the doctrines, the traditions of men, and they make them doctrines of God. He says, you leave the commandment of God in order to hold the tradition of men. Man, what a powerful statement Jesus makes to these Pharisees. This passage has always been a favorite of mine for a number of reasons. For one, as you go on later in the chapter, Jesus actually starts talking about it's not what goes into your mouth or goes into your body, hand washing or food items that defile you, and it's actually what comes out of you, which literally he declares that all foods are officially clean. Can all the crawfish and fried catfish eaters say praise God? Come on, somebody. So he says there's no food restrictions for the Christian. But I also love that Jesus was using this teaching to deal with the deeper issue of religion and control and toxicity that's really on the inside of us and what it does to us. See, the Pharisees were so concerned with external cleanliness that they weren't actually dealing with the internal filth that was on the inside of them. They were so concerned with not getting leprosy on the outside, right, or not getting the disease on the outside, that Jesus had to confront them for the leprosy that was on the inside of them and the disease that plagued their hearts on the inside. And that's what I'm trying to help us see in this moment of crisis. See, I imagine that many of us struggle with this, that what we say or what we even do is not quite always the same as what's really on the inside of us. And pressure is revealing that, right? Pressure and the squeeze of what's happening is revealing what's really on the inside of us. We say the right things when days are calm. But when the pressure's on, what we really believe, what we really think, and what we really value comes out. Or maybe we project the confidence in what God says, but we really put more stock in what others are saying instead of what God's actually saying. Here's a good litmus test for that. You know, whose report will you believe? There's an old adage that we used to say back in the day in Pentecostal circles. We'd say, whose report will you believe in? We'll believe the report of the Lord. Well, the fact is, Jesus isn't live on location somewhere giving reports of people in hospitals, but Fox News and CNN and Breitbart News and all these other organizations are giving reports all the time. And it's just inundating us with news and reports all the time. But what report are you actually going to have confidence in? We want to hear what people are saying. We want to find help and resources from certain places. But we want to find our hope anchored in the Lord. So moments like this, these moments of pressure, these moments of squeeze, are really a test for us to decide what do we believe about God and what is God revealing about us. You see, pressure reveals what's really on the inside of us. And in moments like this, Jesus went on to say there's nothing on the outside of a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are the things that defile him. In verse 20 of the same chapter, Mark 7, He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, right? And I think the opposite of that's true too. What comes out of a person is what can like show the good things that are inside of him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, comes like evil thoughts, covetousness, murder, all those kind of things that are defiling. And then he says in verse 23, all these things of our life really come from within us. So right now, we're dealing with pressure. We're dealing with the squeeze of anxiety and fear and news and coronavirus. And my question to you to evaluate is, what is this revealing that's on the inside? See, in Matthew's gospel, he said it like this: out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What are you saying in these days? What are you confessing? What are you communicating in days like this? Really, that means that your words and your actions reveal what's happening deep in your heart, in the core of who you are. And right now, many of us are using a lot of words and a lot of actions right now that may or may not reflect the truth of what you say you believe. Maybe it does, and that's my hope for you. But maybe you're seeing that it's not really lining up with what you've been confessing, and you got to really take some time to evaluate that and make some corrections. So I'm asking you to consider that. What is this time of pressure revealing about what's on the inside of you? In Proverbs 4:23, God says, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Every part of your life, everything you say, everything you're feeling, everything you do is really an overflow of what's on the inside of you. And that's why I'm trying to get us to evaluate. How do we let God make sure that the right things are coming out of us in these moments? And here's the thing, there's no judgment or criticism here. I just want you to evaluate it honestly. And then let's figure out ways to make some corrections if they're not healthy. And then let's make sure that we're exemplifying those things if they are right. So my big question to you again during this time, simply this: what is this season of pressure revealing in you? What is this time of uncertainty showing you that's really going on the inside of you? If Jesus Christ could call you out and show you what's really on the inside of you, what would that be? And honestly, I think this is a great discussion point for you and your family and your watch party, your small group, to just ask those questions. What is this really producing in you? And I'll give you some options here in just a second. For some of us, it's been really good. It's revealing a deep sense of hope and a deep sense of confidence in God more than ever before. In fact, as pastor, I've been talking with a lot of our community leaders, and I'm asking them this question. I go, what makes you hopeful in this moment? And they're like, man, people are being so generous to one another and kind to one another. They're saying, I love seeing the human spirit come alive. They're seeing people pray and serve others in ways they've not seen in a very long time. Maybe your faith is really coming alive in this season. You're digging into God's word. You're digging into prayer like never before. It could be that you're finding yourself full of confidence and faith in God, knowing that He's going to work this out for our good and that He can be trusted in the midst of all of this. But maybe this time of pressure is revealing and squeezing out some other things in us, like fear and anxiety. Maybe it's revealing that the faith you thought you had was only surface deep, and that it's not really enough to carry you through this season. Maybe you've had thoughts of, how do I get away from this? How do I escape? Where do I run to? Maybe this season of pressure has revealed that time at home is more difficult than it should be, or that you really need to work on your family relationships and the love for your spouse and love for your kids again. Maybe that it's revealing that your life is just too busy and you don't know how to slow down. I recently tweeted this on my Twitter page. If you don't follow it, I'd encourage you to get on there. I posted this tweet. I said, stillness and silence are actually a gift to people who are constantly busy and on the go. Jesus consistently made a practice of pulling away to get still and to get silent. Boredom comes from not actually knowing how to slow down and how to stop. This downtime for us can be a great time to reset some habits and practices and incorporate prayer and Bible study. Hey, so let me just ask you this again directly. With all the pressure you're feeling, with all the uncertainty and the insecurity about what's going on, what's coming out of your heart, let me just ask, what is being revealed that's on the inside of you? That's the big takeaway question for this. Let me give you some ways to think through this. Maybe you can write this down and put this down and ask your spouse or ask your small group or your watch party. Is this time of pressure revealing hope or hopelessness in you? And if it's hopelessness, we got to figure out how to fix that. Is it revealing faith or is it revealing fear? Is it revealing determination or is this time of pressure revealing despair? Is this time of pressure revealing selflessness or selfishness. And you can evaluate that by what are you doing with your resources, your money, your time. By the way, selfishness is never a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes in our desire to justify selfishness with, I'm looking out to protect my family, make sure I have enough. Don't forget, God is our source. He's our provision. There is wisdom in being prepared. There's wisdom in having stuff preserved and left over. But man, hoarding and like becoming like some selfish hoarder, that's not the right direction. You just got to evaluate that. I hope that makes sense for you. Is this time of pressure revealing peace? Or is it revealing anxiety? Do you wring your hands? Are you up at night? Can you not seem to get peace from this? Or is it revealing peace with God? Do you sense God's presence? Or are you feeling all alone? Now let me just wrap this up with a couple thoughts on how to respond to a message like this. Hopefully, if you could just click some likes or hearts or something, I don't know, say amen, say preach that brother, you know, something in the comments so I know that you're tracking with me. We'll be done in just a minute. But let me just give you some thoughts on how to respond. I want to give you a couple practices and a couple disciplines. They may seem kind of simple and they're kind of off the top of my head, but I think they'll help you during this time. The first thing, by and large, the most important thing that you can do, spend quiet time alone with God every day. In fact, multiple times per day. My pastor says it like this, rather than spending 10 minutes once a day with God, I'd rather you spend 10 single minutes, 10 times a day with God. Figure out ways to unplug, to disconnect, to get some quiet alone time with God every day and multiple times a day. I want to encourage you to learn to shut off the noise and the news and let your heart and mind just be connected to God in ways that maybe you haven't in a long time. It's so easy to just try to gather more information and get more news, but that's just increasing your pressure. And some of us need a pressure release and we just need time with God. Open your Bible. Read what God has to say for you. If you're not sure where to read, I would encourage you to get on our website and you can join our Bible in a Year plan. Put on a worship playlist. Get on Spotify. We have a Spotify worship playlist that we've shared on our social media multiple times before. We can share that again. But just sing. Lift your hands to the Lord. Talk about the bigness of our God. Remember what I said earlier. Don't ever let the size of your problems cause you to forget the size of your God. And sometimes worship is just reminding us how great is our God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're good, your kingdom come, and your will be done. So spend some time in the Word, spend some time in worship, and then pray. And here's what prayer needs to look like in moments like this. Just tell God what's going on in your heart and say, Lord, how do I come under submission to your kingdom? How do I come under the peace of God that passes understanding? Let me tell you something. God can handle everything you're thinking. He can handle everything you're saying to others. He's actually already aware of all those things. But there's something profound about what Peter says when we cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. So number one, spend alone time with God regularly, multiple times a day, in the Word, in prayer, in worship. Second, I want to encourage you with this. Stay connected or now get connected. Some of you are loners and all the introverts and isolators. This is not a time for you to shine, okay? We want to encourage you to get with other people. Don't isolate yourself from others. They've been using language social distancing, and I don't like that term. My pastor says it the same way, Pastor Chris. Physical distance is one thing, but social connection is still super important. We may be practicing physical distancing, but we don't need to practice social distancing, social isolation. We don't need to do that at all. Send a text, make a call, do FaceTime with your friends. I'm doing that more than ever, I feel like, right now. Just talking to people, having Zoom meetings, just getting in front of others. Write a letter, take a walk, wave to your neighbors, meet a new friend. Do not isolate yourself away from others. Listen, be smart in your distancing. If you're sick, stay home, but don't do life alone. If we are left to ourselves for too long, it can literally have a negative impact on what's actually on the inside of us and reveal some things that we're really not that comfortable with. A couple other thoughts for you. Stay active. Man, it's so important to stay active for your morale, health. Do some push-ups, sit-ups. My wife's ready for me to do a lot of push-ups and sit-ups, I know. And so I'm going to do my best for that, ride a bike, whatever. Number four, stay others focused, right? Think of your family. Think of other friends, your neighbors. Be generous. Be a giver. Reach out to those who need encouragement. And if you have the ability and you can go shopping for someone who's stuck at home, find a way to be a blessing and be others focused. And then lastly, I want to encourage you, make sure that you're listening to people who are filled with hope. Who you listen to, who you're watching, what voices are speaking into your life, they are a huge part of what ends up on the inside of you. Remember what I said earlier, during this time of pressure and squeeze, what's on the inside is what's going to come out. So I want us to be listening to the gospel, listen to great preaching, listen to friends of faith and be mindful to listen to people who know how to choose joy, how to be filled with hope, to let God's word and godly voices speak with us. Hey, I want to close this out. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. Just a final thought. Let me bring this to you as we're enduring trying times like this. Understand that pressure is a normal part of what we should be feeling. And though it comes in so many different forms, pressure can either reveal what's bad on the inside of us or what's good on the inside of us. And pressure can be the very thing that God uses to produce the good in us. Remember where we started, Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all these things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So here's what I believe about that. If you'll let God have his way and just put a little squeeze on you and let this pressure do its work in you, this doesn't have to be a season of negativity, of fear and anxiety, doubt and worry. This can be a season of God doing his very best work in us ever. Now think about what I just said there. This can become a season of God doing his very best work in us ever. That God would use whatever is happening on the outside of us to produce his very best on the inside of us. If you think about it, pressure is the absolute necessity required for coal to become diamonds. As we start with this rough lump of dark, dirty coal, nobody wants to go digging for that and looking for it. What starts as mostly invaluable, a lump of carbon, when under the right amount of pressure and with enough time under pressure, that coal becomes one of the most valuable things in our whole world, a diamond. So here's the thing. We're absolutely feeling the pressure of a worldwide pandemic. We're feeling the pressure of the unknown, of fear, of news, of the numbers with what's happening around the world. But if we can learn to trust God and wait on the Lord and enter into his presence and spend time with him and wait, remember, pressure with time. We got to learn to wait on the Lord, with the Lord, through this incredibly pressurized season. I believe we can see the Lord do a great work in us and reveal some of the greatest work he's ever done through us. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Has this been a blessing to you? My prayer for you is that it has. I just want to say a quick prayer for you. I know that we've got so many ways for you to get connected in this next season with groups online, Zoom meetings, FaceTime, do all the steps that we're practicing together. But I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment to trusting God in this season. And if you've never said yes to let Jesus be Lord over all of your life, this is your first opportunity. And for all of us that belong to Christ, we need to be reminded that God's doing a good work in us and we can trust him for it. Let me close this in prayer. If you would, wherever you're sitting, standing, or watching, would you just open your hands to the Lord and pray with me? God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for what you're doing in Life Point Church. I thank you for the blessing of God on this church and the people watching today. And Lord, we pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit would absolutely encounter every one of us right now. Thank you, Lord, for having your way in us. Thank you for just choosing to love us and to be good in us and with us. And Lord, we thank you that you're not afraid. You're not nervous about any of the things that are happening. So Lord, we don't have to be either. We thank you that the peace of God, the same peace God has that surpasses understanding, will guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we trust that. We believe you for that, that we can operate in the same peace that you have. So Lord, we receive it today in Jesus' name. God, if anyone is here and says, I haven't really put my hope in Jesus, maybe I've placed my faith in the church or in religion, but never really placed my faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, God, we want to do that right now. So would you pray with me? Everybody, is just no matter what level of faith or devotion to Jesus you're in, this is our prayer today. Everybody say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for me so that I can live for him for the rest of my life. I confess my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I accept your salvation. Say, I will live with you and for you for the rest of my life. And may your peace overwhelm me and make me more like Jesus. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you, Life Point Church. Thank you so much for being a part of our online service. And I'm pretty excited we got this done without a lot of thunderstorms, rain, or birds flying into my head. Have a great week. I love you. God bless. Peace out.